my desire this morning is to make it home successfully. That's the intent of my heart and my life, my mind. I want to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And I have courage this morning because I know that the Lord paid a very heavy price for my salvation. And He has a vested interest in me making it to heaven. That's wonderful. I'd like to start this morning in 2 Timothy 2:19. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." I have a strong desire this morning to be in the company of those whom the Lord knows are His own. Don't you?
Amen.
This scripture says the Lord knows them that are His. And if you were to go to the Lord this morning and say, "Lord, Rod Smith, do you know who he is? Is he one of yours?" I would want the Lord not to say, "Run that name by me again." "Well, you know, Rod Smith, he lives in Monroe, Louisiana." "Well, I'm not sure who that is." "Well, he knows every person on the earth, but I'm talking spiritually." I would want the Lord to say, "Well, of course I know Rod. Have a wonderful relationship with Rod. He's one of mine." Isn't that what you want from the Lord? Don't we want to live so that we can be part of this people that it belongs to the group where the Lord says, "I know who's my people. I know who they are. The Lord knoweth them that are His." I want that to be my highest priority in life. That the Lord knows who I am in a positive way. And I want the actions of my life to back up the testimony that I have, that I want that to be my highest priority. Because I feel like there are many today that express that as a priority, but that's not the way that they live their lives. And so I want to bring a message this morning. And I've written on the board, the message that I have, I believe, is a necessity that many, many people deem to be unnecessary in our life today. And that is that we would often feel compelled to flee, depart, and abstain. I'll speak more frankly. I feel like that there is a message that the Christian world is promulgating today that maybe they don't just come out and say, "I have a message for you this morning." Maybe that's not how they do it. But I believe there's a message that is being sent to the world today by the Christian community. And that is that, well, you know, as long as the Lord knows your heart, and if you mean well, and you know, sometimes the end justifies the means. As long as what you're trying to accomplish is right, and as long as you're moderate in what you do, and, well, you know, the Lord knows your heart, and you know really what it is you're trying to avoid, and I'm talking about things that that involve unrighteousness and iniquity and things that the Lord's not pleased with. And yet I feel like that there is a spirit in the world, in the Christian, in the testified Christian world today, that these things, maybe there can be more room for them than they ought to be, when in fact the reality is that the Scripture teaches us in many places to depart, to flee, to abstain. And we'll get to the verse. Peter brought out the abstain part. Abstain from iniquity. And I want to read you some definitions. The definition of flee: to hasten away. I want you to get, and young people, listen to my message this morning, and us older folks too, because you know what I feel like sometimes can happen to us older folks? We get going down so far in the Christian life, and pretty soon we start feeling like we're exempt from some of these things, because after all, we kind of know what's required of us, and we've kind of put in our time. I've seen that. I feel like I've seen that, where as people get older, it strikes me, this is my opinion, it almost strikes me as if they've exempted themselves from things, from manners, from just, you know, right, and making decisions for the right, you know, that, and thinking about others, the things that they do that affects other people, and all the things that they've taught. It's almost like they become exempt because they've been there, they've done it, they kind of know and have an understanding, and that becomes a security blanket. And I want to say this morning, in the fear of the Lord, we're never exempt. We're not exempt from departing from those things that are wrong, whether you're young or whether you're old. So I don't want to just be the young people. It's for us. It's for us too, as we get along in life. So the definitions: flee, hasten away. And these words are used in the Bible. So let's not put a different definition on the word flee, meaning stay where you are. Flee means stay where you are and just manage the situation. That's not what it says. Flee means to hasten away. Depart. Depart means leave. Go somewhere else. That's what depart means. When you tell somebody it's time for you to go to your room, depart. I don't use the word depart to my children and say depart. But if I were to say depart, I have said it's, you need to go to your room. Not often. That doesn't mean stay where you are. It doesn't mean remain at the dinner table. It does not mean remain in the living room. Depart means get up from where you are and go somewhere else. That's the definition of depart. Flee, hasten, quickly, go somewhere else. Abstain means cease or refrain from. That means abstain means stop what you're doing. Stay away from it. Don't let it have a part of your life. Abstain from it. That means it's not in sometimes and not in other times. It means abstain. It doesn't have a part of your life. Is this difficult to do? Is it difficult to flee, depart, and abstain from some things? Well, I'll speak for myself. Absolutely, yes. It is. It's hard to leave things. It's hard to depart situations. It's hard to abstain from activities that draw us. See? It's hard to do that. And yet, the Scriptures teach us to flee, depart, and abstain. Now this morning, the verse was read, "Come, ye children." This is to all of us. That wording, that terminology is to all of us. "Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Is there anybody here that doesn't fall into that category? Anybody here not want to see good days? No. It's a call to all of us. Come, listen. Let me tell you something. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? And what did he say? Shortly after that, he said, depart from evil and do good. Why does the Scripture tell us to depart, to flee, to abstain? It's not to take us away from something that seems good to us and just put us out into an abyss somewhere and leave us to flounder and leave us in a desert place. That's not the message that the Lord brings. The Lord brings the message of, hey, you want a good life? Do you want the blessings of the Creator? Do you want to see good in life? Depart from evil. Depart from it. Go somewhere else that you may see good. Depart from evil and do good. Why? Because it's for our own good. It's because that's what will ultimately satisfy us. And yet, it's so hard for us. It's so hard for us to flee evil when it draws me and when it appeals to me. And I could really self-disclose to you this morning, and I can tell you some things that are wrong that appeal to me. I'm a Christian and I love the Lord. But as long as I'm in this life, there are going to be things that are a temptation to me, or could be more so if I allow them to be. And so I have a responsibility to depart, to flee, to remove myself. People say, well, I'm not the one I didn't bring myself into this situation. This kind of came to me. Well, flee then. My dad said that his dad told him one time, he said, son, there have been times I have literally had to turn on my heels and run from a situation.
Joseph
in the Bible did, didn't he? He had to depart. He could have said, well, I mean, I'm my responsibilities here. This is my job. I need to be responsible with my job. I'm going to have to manage this situation. And that is part of my message this morning is, don't let the enemy get you to the place where you're just going to manage iniquity and manage wrong and manage situations that you have control over. Be willing to flee, to depart, to abstain. Verse 19 said, the Lord knows them that are His. And he goes on and he says, and I want to say this about that verse. He knows them that are His regardless of what people we might define as the people that He knows. Because I feel like the world and the Christian world around us would like to define that people themselves, who the Lord knows as His own. And it's inaccurate. I've made this comment before, and I'm not trying to be too hard, folks, but judgment is ahead of us. And so I want to be a realist. I want to preach the truth as it is and not just always preach what sounds good and where we can go out the back door and just feel kind of good about where we are. Sometimes preaching has to go forth that's close. And it's not because I'm trying to be critical or make myself, listen, I am dependent on the mercy of God as much as anybody in here. Because if all I had to offer the Lord was the righteousness and goodness that I inherently have, I would be lost. And so I am desperate for the blood of Jesus to cover me. But I want to tell you, I have a responsibility to know what God wants of me so that I can pursue it. And so that I identify what's wrong and flee and depart and abstain from it. And so I want you to know that that's how I feel and that's how I believe. But I believe also, and I believe I've said it here before, I believe that the road to destruction is so wide partially because it has to accommodate all of the professed Christian world that says, I'm a Christian. Because many of them aren't going through the straight gate. They're not going on the narrow way. They're not going on the highway. They're allowing things in their lives that they ought to flee from. They're allowing things in their lives they ought to depart from. They're allowing things in their lives they ought to abstain from. And yet they don't. But they name the name of Christ. And that road to destruction has to be as wide as it is because it's going to have to accommodate them. Because the Scripture says the Lord knows them that are His. He knows. Regardless of what people profess, God knows. We're not the ones that tell Him who it is that He knows as are His. He's the one. We get to make the decision. We're free moral agents. He gives us the right, if you will, the decision rights, to make the decision which way we want to go. We're not predestined. I don't believe that. And yet, at the same time, it isn't going to be Brother Edgar that decides whether I'm one of the Lord's. The Lord is. He knows them that are His. He's going to be the one that makes that, because He knows my works. He knows what I do. He knows what I run from when none of you are around. He knows what I abstain from or allow in my life when you're not around. I spend time away from my family and away from everyone. And I get to make some decisions that my children don't know anything about. My wife doesn't have to know anything about. No one has to know anything about it that knows me. But the Lord knows.
Yes.
And so I have a responsibility in my life to flee some things, no matter whether you're here or around me or not, to depart from some things, to abstain from some things, because I want to be one of the ones that the Lord knows He's one of mine. And that's the most important thing in my life.
Yes, amen.
It is. It's the most important thing in my life is for me to know that God accepts me as one of His. That means everything to me. I want to live that way. I want to make decisions so that the Lord can say, that's one of mine. Have you considered my servant, Rod? And I feel so inadequate to even say that. But that's how I want to live. That's how what I want to pursue. I don't feel worthy to say, Lord, you can say, have you considered my servant, Rod? I don't feel worthy to say that. But I want to pursue that. I want to live that way. I want to make decisions. And if I fall, I want you to see me get back up. Because I have fallen and I will fall, no doubt. But I want you to see me get back up and show you that I want to live in a way that when the Lord looks down upon me, I want to pursue the way that He can say, "Have you considered my servant, Rod?" That no matter what comes His way, no matter what the enemy puts in front of me, that I will be willing, no matter how much it pulls on my heartstrings, that I would be willing to get away from it, to depart from it, to abstain from it. Don't you know the enemy is going to put things in your path that pulls on your heartstrings? He will. And so it's easy for us to say, well, no, that's just me. That's just who I am. That's just what I'm drawn to. That the Lord put that in me. And I can, He can, His grace is sufficient for me. So I can handle this. Listen, the enemy is out to deceive the very elect. The enemy is out to deceive those that would live for the Lord. And he is going to tempt us, not with things that we're not drawn to. He's going to tempt you with things that are a temptation to you. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a temptation. He does that with me. And when I was young people, my children hear me talk about this all the time. If he can get you hooked up with the wrong companion, he has just about got you for life. It's almost. And the enemy will put people in your pathway that tugs on your heartstrings. And everything seems so right and so good. And yet if you were able to step back and look at it from the Lord's point of view and saw where it led or could lead, had the high risk of leading to, not just for you, but your children and your children's children, you would flee, depart, and abstain. But the enemy knows, if I can get them and it feels so good, it must be God. Beware of that. Seek the Lord.
Yes, amen.
This is a situation where it's not easier to ask for forgiveness than permission. I want you to understand that. People say, well, I get married, it doesn't turn out right. The Lord's a forgiving God, and everything can be okay. No. You might make it in, but there's a lot of collateral damage that happens on that one. And there are consequences that you have to deal with for life if you mess that one up. You don't get to just come and ask for forgiveness and then everything's okay. you get to deal with that one for a long time. The enemy will come and try to get in our minds and our hearts with all kinds of things that this world has to offer that we ought to flee from, depart from, and abstain from. And so the scripture that we read said, the Lord knows them that are His. And then he said, let every one that nameth the name of Christ. This is how we're going to be able to be one with God. This is how we're going to be able to be among that group of people that the Lord says, this is my people. He said, if you're going to name the name of Christ, depart from what's wrong. Depart from it. Go somewhere else. Separate yourself from it. If we don't, then the verse here in the 21st verse, if we don't, this verse won't be able to apply to us. If we don't allow a purging to take place continuously in our lives, then we're not going to be able to be a vessel of honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use. We won't be able to. You might name the name of Christ. Lots of people do. And it's a bad testimony for the Lord. I believe the Lord would rather you not testify and name His name if you're not going to depart from iniquity. If you're going to name His name, depart from iniquity. We can't be a light to the world and say, I'm a Christian, and go and do and allow and let in and try to manage and discretionary things that we ought to flee from, we ought to depart from, we ought to say, I'm not going there, and go somewhere else. And yet we try to manage it, and we try to work with it, and we try to, I'm going to put this piece of it aside, and I'm going to just get a hold of the good in it, when you ought to depart from it. The Lord has something to offer you that you don't have to try to figure out how to somehow make it work out in your life. Depart from it. The Lord will replace it and give you something that you can sigh. You can let the load off your shoulders that's there because you're continually fighting with it. Sometimes people in life, they're under a load and under a burden, and they're putting their finger on everything but the problem. It's well, I'm stressed out because of this, and well, I'm just stressed out because of this, and I don't feel good because of this, or well, my life's like it because of this. And the problem is, we're not fleeing. We've probably all been there. We're not fleeing. We're not departing. We're not abstaining. And that is the root cause of the reason why we have problems in our lives so many times. Why we don't feel good. It can affect our bodies. Why emotionally we don't feel like we want to feel. We'll point at everything but the problem. When the problem is we're not willing to say, oh, I'm getting out of here. I am willing to depart. I'm going to abstain. I'm going to flee. And that's the answer. It's not easy. We have to make up our minds. Who are we going to serve? Who are we going to make our cause in life? Me? Am I going to make me my cause? Am I going to make those things that I'm drawn to in my heart my cause? And try to satisfy all those things, and then, oh, by the way, Lord, I sure want your blessings on my life, and I might spend more time in prayer then than I did before. The enemy's fine with that. Did you know that the enemy is fine with you praying as long as you want throughout the day? He's fine with you going to church. He's fine with you memorizing more verses. He's fine with you having a louder testimony as long as you're not willing to flee, depart, and abstain. As long as he can have his little place in your life, he's fine with all of that other stuff. And he likes to deceive the very elect with that. Because we feel better. We read the Bible, we feel like we did something good. We go to church, we're doing something good. We're testifying to others, we feel like we're doing something good. But the Scripture says, if you're going to name the name of Christ, depart. Depart from iniquity. Why? So that the Lord can punish us and put as many stripes on us as possible to earn our way into heaven? No. We can't earn our way into heaven. He's not looking to put us through the torture chamber to see what we're made of so that he can say, have you considered my servant Rod? He's almost bleeding and dead and fallen because of what I'm doing to him. But boy, he's sure sticking in there. No, that's not why. It's because he wants us to have a good life. It's because he wants to meet the need of our heart. And so he says, flee from this. Depart. Abstain. Is it hard? Yeah, it's a sacrifice. But you get something in return that's worth so much more.
Yes,
I want to be willing to do it. Young people, be willing to do it. That's where life is. That's where abundant life is. So he went on and he said, flee youthful lusts. Flee them. Well, I'm only a teenager once. How many of us have said that? And if we haven't said it, how many times have we thought it? Well, this is only one time in my life that I'm this age. I need to enjoy my time here. It only happens once. Yes, you're right. Your teenage years only happen once. Your 20s only happen once. Your 30s only happen once. Your 40s only happen once. And every stage of life that comes, there are other opportunities that you didn't have before that will also pull you and separate you from the Lord. So you have to make a decision. Which way are you going to go? Which road are you going to take? The road well traveled? Or the one, as Robert Frost said, looked just not well traveled? Not very many people go down that way. People question why you go down that way. But in his little example, the person that went down that way made all the difference. made all the difference. The Lord wants to make all the difference in your life today. Young people, He wants to make all the difference in your life. And it is contrary. The way is contrary to the way that the world would teach. It is contrary to the way that most of the Christian world teaches today. Because it allows for so much anymore. Flee youthful lust, but He tells us where to go. Then He says, follow. Flee these things and then follow. Go after. What? Righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and with those that are of like mind. I don't have enough time this morning to preach on everything I'm thinking about. Have you ever heard, beware of the company you keep? And we just talked about who you hook up with as your companion, who your friends are at school, at work, outside of the home, who is it that you fellowship with? What does the Word say right here? The Lord wants us to fellowship with those of like mind. The Lord wants us to do everything that we can to give our hearts and our lives to His way, because it's only in that manner that we will be able to go out and reach a lost and dying world. Jesus didn't say He was going to take us out of the world. We're in the world. His great commission was to go to the lost to take the gospel. He wasn't saying start a convent. He wasn't saying build walls and don't interact with anybody. But where your heart is, give your heart and your affection to that which is right, because that is what will enable us to then reach the lost in the most effective way. Don't become lost yourself to try to tell someone else how to be saved. May God help us. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. With who? With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That's who He wants us to be with. That's who He wants us to identify with as our people. I won't preach forever this morning. I'll cut it off here before too long. I have a burden. I feel a burden this morning, because when I look around in the world, and I have children that are getting ready to make wives of their own and have children, and so do you all, and you have grandchildren, and Dave, you have loved ones, no doubt, that, and we all look at these and I'm concerned and I'm burdened, because when I look around and sin is not so exceedingly sinful anymore, it bothers me when someone starts to talk about something that's sinful. And a younger generation will sit by and look with this smile of, you just don't understand. You're making too big of a deal out of it. You don't get it. You don't get it. I get it more than they realize. It was prophesied of. Times would come when it's not we don't look at sin as exceedingly sinful anymore. We make room for it. We begin to tolerate it. And it concerns me, because there's too much lukewarmness. There is too much of just staying where you are and accepting things and not fleeing and departing and abstaining. There's not enough sense of urgency around following after righteousness and faith and charity and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Where do we spend our time? Where do people spend their times? Do they spend their time listening to those that are calling on the Lord out of a pure heart? Not just calling on the Lord. See, there's a distinction. I my children can testify to this. I don't like it when people say this is Christian music. Because Just because you call on the name of the Lord doesn't make it Christian music. This further defines it. It says, call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. See? So what do we do? Do we watch things that are coming from people that have a pure heart? Is that how we're using our discretionary time? And why am I talking about? Because this is where we live. This is how we spend our time. I can preach all day long about things that are just kind of, you know, theology and thoughts and, you know, potential things to consider. But when we walk out that door, we live life. Our life is made up of how we spend our time. That's how your life's made up. That's how we're going to be judged. Every man according to his works. The scripture says that. That's Bible. And so how do I spend my time? I'll tell you how I spend my time. I spend my time by making decisions about what I look at, what I listen to, where I go, what I think about, what I do with my hands. That's what I do with my life. What do with yours? I'll answer for you the same thing. That's what you do too. That's what your life's made up of. Decisions about what you look at, what you listen to, where you go, what you do with your hands. That's what life is. And so we have to order our lives then around those things that help us follow after right and depart from those things that are wrong. Let's get the abstain verse before I close. The Bible says to flee, depart, and abstain in 1 Peter 2 and 9. I'm going to read that real quick. 1 Peter 2 and 9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I want to be part of that people. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as pilgrims and strangers, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Abstain from it. Why? Because we're pilgrims and strangers. This world, this is not where we're going to be for the vast majority of our lives. This time, Brother Edgar called it this time world. He said that a lot. This time world says it so right. When you consider a time world with eternity, it doesn't even measure on the scales. When you look at where our lives are going to be spent, we're pilgrims, we're strangers, we're passing through. We're making the decision. Some people say, well, this is the dressing room for eternity. The Lord's giving us an opportunity now after the fall in the garden. And the Lord had to depart. Well, then He had a plan. I want to restore. I want to have a relationship again. And I'm going to give opportunity for people to make a decision. Are they going to flee, depart, and abstain from wrong and from their own inclinations? And are they going to follow after me so that it's going to determine where we spend eternity? And so with that in mind, may God help us to be willing to let go of some things that are a hindrance to us. Let's lay aside the weight. Stop spending so much. I'm not speaking to you all directly. We need to stop spending so much time justifying things in our lives that we keep looking at and trying to deal with and trying to justify and trying to make room for, when we just need to let it go. Let go of the weights that's besetting us. Flee, depart, abstain. Well, that means I have to completely cut it off, and that doesn't seem moderate. You know, there are some things we're not supposed to be moderate with. There are some things that the Bible says, flee, depart, and abstain. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. And the enemy likes to come and says, well, that doesn't really make that much difference. That is such a convenient, so convenient response to the Lord's dealings with us. I've had it in my life. I've been tempted with it. Well, I don't think the Lord's really... the Lord's not really concerned with that. Why does it keep nagging at me then? Why does it seem like I just can't seem to get clear victory with the Lord over that thing that the Lord's not so concerned about? I want to submit to you this morning, the Lord is concerned. The scripture in 1 Corinthians 3, and it starts around the 16th verse, know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him will God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. See, the Lord God is concerned about what we allow in our hearts and in our minds, what we allow to take up space in our minds and in our hearts, and what we act out. He also said in 1 Corinthians 6, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Oh, now listen to this one. And you're not your own? Oh, this is my life. This is me. This is my life. Well, it is. But if you give yourself to the Lord, you're not your own anymore. You've given yourself back to the Lord. And he says, for you, you're bought with a price. See, he paid the price on the cross and shed blood so that your sins could be forgiven if you would accept it and live for him. See, we make a choice. The blood isn't there for every person. It's there, but it is not applied to every person if they don't accept that way. But when we accept the way of the Lord, he says, wait, the Spirit of the Lord dwells in you now. You're not your own. You've been bought with the price. Therefore, glorify God in what? What does it say? Glorify God in just your thoughts and in your spirit, but do whatever you want with your body? Is that what it said? No. It said, therefore, glorify God in what? Your body and your spirit. He could have just said it. Glorify God in your spirit. Because you know what I think? Chris had made this point the other night in worship. If you're doing what's right on the inside and your spirit's right, you know, eventually it's going to come out right in what you do too. You're not going to be holy in your spirit and people look at your body and go, what? Where are they coming from? That isn't how it works. But it seems to me that the scripture was specifically written. It was making a special point to tell us, glorify God in your body, in your senses, the thing that's going to pass away, what you do with your eyes and your ears and your hands and decisions that you make and how you look and where you go and the flesh and the blood. Glorify God in that and in your spirit because we're His. I think often of the when Jesus was being tempted, and the enemy came to Jesus and he said, well, go ahead and throw yourself off, because the scripture said he would bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And what was Jesus' response? Remember what he said? Yeah. Jesus did say, oh, you're right. God's grace is sufficient for me. He's all powerful. He can help me in this situation. I ought to be able to do this, and I'll just apply for the grace of the Lord to help me, forgive me, and make a way for me. That's not the response of Jesus. Jesus' response was, yes, and the scripture also says, don't tempt the Lord your God. And I felt like the Lord helped me see the verse in this way. Be willing to flee, depart, and abstain. Don't hang out in places that tend or give elevated risk for unrighteousness in your life give sin a part to play. Play on the thing that your heart pulls toward. Don't hang out there and then say, well, now, Lord, I'm trusting you to give me the grace and to keep me through this. When the Scripture said, Jesus said, don't tempt the Lord your God. Don't presume upon His grace and then do something that you shouldn't do and then say, now, Lord, you said, abstain from it. Get away from it. Flee from it. Say, no, I'm not going to do that. Why does the Lord want us to do that this morning? Because He has a better way for us. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I want to teach you the fear of the Lord. I want to teach you how to have a good life. Depart. Flee. Abstain from those things that would pull you down. And follow after those things that when years go by, you can look behind and say, Oh, I beheld how His wide arm of mercy held me. Oh, I beheld how He went before me and He did bless me. When I thought I was giving up the very thing that I thought I couldn't bear without, He gave me something so much better. And I'm so glad I had faith in Him. I'm so glad I trusted Him. I'm so glad I went all the way. I'm so glad I made up my mind that I wanted to live so that He could say, have you considered the decisions that my servant down there is making? I want to live that way. I desire your prayers.